2 minutes. I want to share from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Gracious and eternal God, as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear your word, I ask, dear God, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O God. As we break the bread of life, dear Heavenly Father, let it not fall upon deaf ears, O God. Let it penetrate into our hearts and into our spirits, that we may go forth and do the word as it is written. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And for just a few moments, the time that we have together, I want to talk about know when to exit. You have to know when to exit. The scripture that we're talking about this morning opens up for us talking about the warnings from Israel's history. The scriptures in the first part talk about how the children of Israel were all together, how they had all things in common as they were going through their trials and tribulation. The scripture says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings to us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." You have to know when to exit. That's an important word. You have to know when to exit. I still enjoy about the Bible that the Bible clarifies and quantifies itself. It takes us back to Old Testament when Moses was leading the children out, and he was saying in his word that they had some things in common. And you know how it is with the people we know, the friends that we knew from elementary school and kindergarten, and we see them again in high school, and we go to college, and we pass them along the way as we get older. There's some things that we have in common. But not all those common things are good things that we should be doing one with another. You see, the Lord has a way of quickening us in our spirit and helping us to recognize that the things that you did have in common, those things in common that are good for God, that are good for your spiritual growth and maturity, those are the things that you should continue to do. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact that even though you do have some things in common, you can also be led astray." You see, they had things in common. They escaped from Egypt together. They were under the cloud by day, and they had the manna from heaven, and then they were allowed to be shielded from those things. And that's what binded them together, one with another. They suffered together. They cried together. They trekked through the desert together. They saw the parting of the Red Sea and made it over to the other side together. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant to the fact that even though they had all of these things in common, they ate together, they drank together, they slept together, and they drank even from the spiritual things of God. But at the same time, some among them separated, because it says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. I like that, because even the word clarifies for us that narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, and few are going to enter it. He says all of these people escaped together, all of these people survived together, but God was not pleased with most of them. Sometimes you have to check the company that you keep in. You have to check the company that you're keeping and know that even though you have some things in common, God is watching, because not everything that y'all are doing together is for the glory of God. You have to know when to exit. He says, not only in his word did these people have some things in common, they also had similar conviction. They had some things in common. They had this similar conviction. He says, now these things occurred as examples to us, to keep us from setting our hearts on the evil things as they did. Dancing and singing in church, having a good time at the concert, going to see the great plays and things about God. But at the same time, no sooner than they walked out of the door of the church, they began, as it said, to be engaged in idolatry and revelry. They out having a good time party soon as they walk out the doors of the church, forgetting how they walk together, forgetting how they work together, forgetting how they did all of these things that they had in common that were pleasing and acceptable to God. And no sooner than they got out of the word of God, they began to do their own thing again. You have to check the company that you're keeping. You need to begin to recognize and understand that even though you have some things in common with people, there's some things that in your spiritual man, in your nature that is opposite of the spirit that God has given you, you allow the Holy Spirit to convict you when you need to get away from those things that are not of God. He reminds us, he says, do not be idolaters. The people sat down to eat and drink, and then they got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit the same acts as they did. Sometimes, because people are our friends, because they are our coworkers, because we've known them for a long time, oh, so-and-so wouldn't do anything like that. I'm just going to go hang out with them for a little while. And then no sooner than you get there, you wish you had drove in your own car. You wish you could call a cab, because as soon as you got in the door, you wanted to turn around and leave. You have to know when to exit. You see, God is constantly reminding us that even though you have something in common with people, you have to also recognize the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to tell you when you're in a dangerous situation, to let you know when things are not going down the right way, when your finances are getting out of order because you can't seem to put a rein on your spending, when you're seeing yourself getting to be obese and allowing high blood pressure to come and you won't allow yourself to change your eating habits. You have to let God convict you. Because everything that we have in common with people that we know and that we hold dear aren't necessarily the things of God that he would have for us to be involved with. The people had something in common and the people were equally convicted. But just prior to the last verses, I was thinking a little bit clearer and closer and asking God about how do we as an individual, how do we as a collective body of the church and of Christ know when to get out of situations? We're so busy looking at the here and the now and so busy thinking about some parts of our past that we don't take into consideration the future blessings that God has in store for us. We often want to run with the pack and be with the crowd, but we keep forgetting that we as Christian leaders are challenged. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just one chapter over, in verse 24, he begins to speak about the role and the responsibility of the leader to the people. Because even though we have some things in common, even though we can be equally convicted about how we do what we do, there's a challenge in the midst of all of this that sets this whole thing off. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it all to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." We have some things in common. We can be equally convicted. But in the midst of all of that, there is this challenge that is speaking to us, that is the undertone of the scripture that reveals to us that we as leaders, as those who are leading in the body of Christ, the responsibility exists to train up the children in the way they should go, pray without ceasing, study the word to rightly show thyself approved, but at the same time, don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing, because the prize that you're trying to get isn't necessarily a medal. You're trying to get an eternal crown where your position in heaven is secure. So everything that we do here on earth is also being recognized by God, so that when we get to his hand and we're talking to God and he's given that account of everything that we have done, we don't get disqualified for the prize. We've seen many leaders go before us who get disqualified for the prize because they got caught up with the common folk. They ceased to recognize the severity of the conviction that God was laying upon them, and they missed the challenge so that they would find themselves being disqualified for the prize that God has to give. Sometimes you have to know when to exit, because you're thinking that everything looks good on this hand, and I know these people all too well, and they would never lead me astray. But on the other hand, you get a glimpse of some behavior that just ain't quite God. You start watching Christian folk around you slipping, and you still hanging around thinking, oh, I'm everybody's savior, and I can make the situation better. But God is saying in his word, you have to know when to exit. He continues on in our scripture in 1 Corinthians 10, commencing at verse 11. He says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us." That's the first thing. It's written down as an example for us. That's why you have to read the word of God, because it's written down. If it's in the book, then it's real. If somebody's testimony and they've taken it into account, then it's real. It says these things happened to them as examples and were written down as a warning for us. How many warnings are you heeding? Can't you see the handwriting on the wall? Don't you recognize God telling you this situation's getting a little bit out of control? Things are not going down the line in a path that I have set for them. You need to step out of their will before your will gets caught up. You need to be cautious. You need to be careful. You need to understand the warnings that God gives. You have to know when to exit. The word of God continues and says that these things were written down for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come, speaking of Christ. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Seems almost like an oxymoron. If you think you're standing firm, then don't fall. And I got this visual picture in my head, and I'm standing firm on the word of God, in position, in God's will. But it says, be careful, don't fall. So how is it that you go from standing firm and falling in your firm stand? Sometimes you can take a stand on the wrong position. Sometimes you can take a stand for the wrong people. Sometimes you can take a stand for somebody else's purpose and forget and miss the mark on which God has called you to stand for him. He says, be careful, don't fall. You see, our commitment has to be equal. It goes beyond what other people are saying. We have to stay in tune and in touch with God. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So anything that you're going to face, somebody else has already faced it. In any challenge that you can go through, it's already been done. But the man that he is speaking of in the scripture isn't us. Flesh and blood, human being, carnal person who can be tripped up on every side. He's talking about his son, Jesus, who put on the image of man, who put on flesh. He said, no temptation will come upon you except that which is common to man. The man that he sent, Jesus. And if Jesus already went through it and survived it and has the victory over it, that means as we go through it, that same victory is already there for us. You have to read the word of God to understand the word of God. He says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. We miss that one. God is faithful. Faithful in the sense that if he did it for you and for you and for you, then he's going to also do it for you. God is faithful. He's not going to bless somebody for being right with him, being in the word with him, staying convicted to him, being in position to serve him, and then not bless the same person or another person who is also being committed and convicted and being challenged and standing firm with him. God is faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. And definitely he is faithful to his word. He says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And I think that's the one that always gets us. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. The question is, what can you bear? There's a popular commercial that's on right now, and I believe it's regarding Paranormal State. And I saw this commercial last night. I was finishing up working on this text. And at the very end of the commercial, the woman says, I know it says that he won't put anything on you than you can bear, but I'm at my limit. And I thought that was interesting, because who's to determine what your limit is if he won't put any more on you than you can bear? You see, not only are you doing the bearing, but God is also doing the bearing. And we know that God can bear much. So he's not going to put any more on you than he himself can bear, because he's the one that's carrying us in the first place. He's the one that's keeping us standing firm. He's the one that's allowing us to continue to move and breathe. Even under the weight of the pressure, we still are able to perform for the perfect will of God to be exercised in our lives. He won't put any more on you than you can bear. Not only did these people have something in common, not only did they find themselves equally being convicted, not only do we as leaders find ourselves working through the challenges that God has us to face, but we also have to have a level of commitment. He continues on to say that not only will he not tempt you beyond what you can